Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we also want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. So today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the first week of Advent. Listen as we explain the function of faith and the preparation for the coming of the Messiah. Use these next 4 weeks of Advent to get yourself connected to the life force and begin living out from the perfection of being. In this show, we will explore the difference between belief and faith. Welcome to The Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance. Get the light on your soul. And know the truth of self. So Swami, what I wanted to do actually is just maybe just give a little bit of information about Advent for our listeners. And Advent is a 4-week period that marks the beginning of the Christmas season. It's a time of spiritual preparation before the celebration of the birth of Christ. In the Roman Catholic tradition, it is also a time of penitence. The period of Advent involves reflection about what it meant for the world before Christ came and preparing the church and hearts for the true meaning of Christmas. So in Advent, each week has a particular theme. So the first week is faithfulness associated with Christ coming in final victory. The second and third Sundays feature the stories about John the Baptist, which represent hope and joy. And the fourth Sunday covers the events that lead up to the birth of Jesus, representing love. So what is it that you would like our listeners to know about this first week in representing faith?
Yeah, I think maybe where we could start here with this is talking about maybe the difference between belief and faith. Because we can pretty much believe in anything. And belief is what gives thought power. So we can believe in evil, we can believe in sin, suffering, sickness, death, and even though these are all undesirable and intrinsically bad things, it's our belief in them that actually brings them into the appearance of our reality. But faith is belief in truth. And truth is the divine principle of the universe.
So I'm wondering if you could, for our listeners, just define what is divine principle.
Yeah, divine principle is the law of life. Divine law is the power of the creative principle that the only power in this universe is the power of spirit, the power of love, the power of life. And it is eternal and absolute. And anything else that appears to be in opposition to that is really a belief in something other than this one true God that is spoken about in Scripture. And so even, say, for example, coming back to the concept of faith, that faith is belief in truth. Now, I really like what's written in the Bible, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, to understand the truth of your being means that you must understand that you are an eternal spiritual being, that the human is the reflection of the divine. that we are in the image and likeness of spirit. One of the things here that they're talking about, that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, when faith is belief in truth, and your sense of self is now aligned with this part of yourself that is spiritual, the first order of business is that you recognize that divine creation is perfect. So there is really nothing to hope for. There's nothing that needs to be added or taken away. That it is in absolute perfect harmony and balance. But the evidence of things not seen is that we must trust and believe in it. Because the reality is that spirit does not report in a five-sense mind. So we have to have belief in something that is invisible and intangible. It's not belief without proof. There's a certain level of trust without reservation. But it will deliver. It will demonstrate.
And that's what the main book. When they say, thy will be done and not my will?
Right, because the divine will, the will of this creative principle of the universe, holds the template of perfect creation. And that's what we've been talking about here as far as the role of the causal spiritual body. That it's so important to recognize the presence of spirit. Because it holds the template for perfect creation. And it is our recognition of it that activates it.
You're talking about perfect creation, and I have a quote here by Pope Francis. This was via Twitter that he did on December 21st in 2013. And he says, Advent is a journey towards Bethlehem. May we let ourselves be drawn by the light of God made manifest. So I'm wondering if he means that the journey towards Bethlehem means us attaining that perfect creation.
Yeah, and the important thing I think for us to start to understand it is not something that we attain or become. It is something that we already are, which is obscure to us because we have accepted a reality other than the perfection of our being, that we are identifying with the finite instead of the infinite. And a lot of it has to do with the simple fact that we are accepting the testimony of a five-sense mind.
So is that what they mean when they say to become self-realized, that we have to realize what we really are?
Exactly. And in order for us to do this, we have to give up the false sense of who we are, which is the visible and the tangible, and also the invisible but tangible.
So I think that this might be confusing for some people because we've been living our lives all along thinking that we have to be the ones to make things happen. We have to be the movers and shakers.
Yeah, it's going to be way more confusing than you think, especially when you start to find just how deep this change has to go and what is considered sin, because most of us are used to the indoctrination that comes from the standard religions of today. Yeah, the institutions that have taken over our religions have failed so bad with their indoctrinations and their rules and regulations and even our concept of what we think God is and the way we go about it, it doesn't work, and we continue to insist that it does work, but at the very best, the way that it's set up now, the very best we can do is turn finite bad into finite good. But this whole thing of the coming of the Christ and the revelation that we are eternal spiritual beings, that this is where human potential really starts to reveal itself. Like we're saying, to be spiritual means that you are not in need ever of anything.
And especially this time of the year being Christmas and everything, maybe that's something that we should all come to a realization that we really don't need anything. What we need is nothing.
Well, yeah, I mean, to indulge yourself in the presence of spirit, to indulge yourself in the presence of the invisible, intangible, the principle of creation, because then you are supported internally. Then you are no longer drawing off of a finite world. You're no longer drawing from duality, and you're no longer under the law of karma, which is this ongoing struggle. And in order for us to get out of this cycle of death and rebirth, which was called liberation or illumination, we have to recognize the presence of the perfection of being.
Now, I know you talk a lot about having faith, but we also have to have a certain level of understanding, too. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, and I think that comes from what Mary Baker Eddy talked about in Miscellaneous Writings, where she says that Christian Science is not a remedy of faith alone, but combines faith with understanding, through which we may touch the hem of his garment and know that omnipotence has all power. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me. And that becomes a different platform that you live your life out from. The presence of the One, the presence of divine law, and not a belief in two powers, which is karmic law.
And that's interesting, because you've been saying for years, as long as I've known you, that it's not about the conduct. It's not about us being good so we can get presents at the end of the year. It is really all about understanding who we are.
Right. And that's faith, is belief in the truth of your being. But you really, that's what I think this first week of Advent, you should really be working on is, who am I? And what is the truth of my being? And what is it going to look like when I start to identify with it?
And so this week you recommend we start with that, start with this realization.
Right. That faith now, rather than just belief, because like we said, we can believe in anything, and our belief in anything will materialize it. It will externalize anything, because that's where we have our point of focus. How we think is what we become. But to turn your mind as an avenue of awareness for the presence of truth, that's how you can start to change the raiment of your mind and clothe it with divine idea.
So I don't want to think that God is my co-pilot. I want to think that there really is no difference between God and me, because God resides in me as it does you, hence the namaste that we say.
Right, and namaste is the recognition of the presence of the divine everywhere and in everything. And I really like what Yogi Bhajan used to say, if you don't see God everywhere, you don't see God anywhere. Because spirit cannot be divided. You can't get spirit in parts.
Well, I think this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, we said earlier that belief is what gives thought power. So let's talk a little bit about the importance of how we think.
Right. How we think is what we become and where we're getting our information from. And this is one of the things that we really focus on in our approach to Kriya Yoga, is that we use a three-dimensional reality system that we can draw from particles, we can draw from waves, or we can draw from the causal spiritual dimension. I really like what's written in the Bible in Romans 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So again, whatever it is that we are accepting as what is real, whatever it is that we desire, whatever it is that we are drawn to, has a big bearing on how we're thinking. Because it's very different to think with your lower mind, with rational mind, or your five sense mind, or carnal mind, or mortal mind, than when you're thinking with the higher mind, or even better, when you are thinking with divine mind.
So, Swami, let's get back again talking about thinking. So how do we go about changing how we think?
Yeah, that's a big part of your practice in yoga. You're using strategies that we use, that we focus on the relationship between breath and thought, that by controlling our breathing, we can control our rate of thinking. And then working with the content of your thought. Say, for example, another look at changing our thinking. Now, I'd like to draw from Mary Baker Eddy in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. She says on page 263, when mortal man blends his thoughts of existence with the spiritual and works only as God works, he will no longer grope in the dark and cling to earth because he has not tasted heaven. So again, trying to learn how to think spiritually, how to cultivate spiritual sense, that initially just making your mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of truth, it may seem like you're doing absolutely nothing because you're holding your attention on what is invisible and intangible. A lot of us have the impression that we think that life is all about what is sensational and what is animated. And so when all of a sudden now you're trying to focus on silence, on stillness, you're waiting for something to happen, it might be a little bit difficult. And that's where I think working with the relationship between how you breathe and how you think. Because a stronghold in being able to neutralize a lot of unnecessary dependencies, a lot of unnecessary fears that we may have internalized or conceptualized, is to give yourself something to hold on to. And breath is something that, even though it's invisible, is tangible. And in the framework of this practice, you can then extend your field of awareness on the presence of truth for a little bit longer period of time, until eventually it will start to reveal itself to you. That as we start to develop this sensitivity and awareness for the presence of spirit, like we talked about last week, acquiring a taste for absolute silence, absolute stillness, and then reveling in the presence of it, and then eventually starting to see that this isn't just nothing. It is the nothing out of which everything comes. It is the absolute oneness of perfect creation.
So I think you're saying that we have to change how we think about our existence. We are not humans. We are much more than that. And that we have to blend. I'll use Mary Becker Eddy's word. We have to blend with spirit, with God, to really make a difference.
Yeah, we have to give up the finite. We have to give up the mortal. We have to give up the tangible, the visible. And then we have to attune ourselves or align ourselves with the perfection of being, the spiritual. And it's a completely different format. That our five-sense mind works on duality, and most of us identify with duality. But in order to get out of duality, you have to attract spirit to you. And this is something we've been saying in a lot of the shows, like the Bible says, you must ask in my name, which means that we have to ask in our divine likeness. We have to become spirit. And in the framework of this process of becoming spirit, that you initially, you have to take some small steps. I like something that I've come across in a book called The Decalogue by Ames Knowles. We see and we think about persons, places, and dimensional things, and so acknowledge other gods. Therefore, when we think in this manner, we are in effect disobeying the second commandment, and as well as the first. For strict obedience to all divine directives, thought must embrace only those concepts that are infinite, non-dimensional, and consequently spiritual. Finite dimensional or material thoughts are diabolical and deadly, for they testify to the materiality of man and the universe. While it is unlikely that a complete change in thought and viewpoint from a human to a divine basis will be accomplished by us immediately, we can at least begin to forsake human thinking for divine knowing. And I think that's a big part of what we're talking about here, this whole thing of faith, learning the truth of our being, because that will give us a yardstick that we could start to measure our external experiences with that are based on divine law and not karmic law.
So I want to just clarify something that you had just read from Ames Knowles. What would it look like for us to be thinking in that manner when we are in effect disobeying the second commandment? Can you just give us an example? Because we may not even realize that we're doing it.
Yeah, I know. It comes as kind of a shock to think that the testimony of our senses, everything that comes before our five-sense mind is missing the mark, is a sin. And our acceptance, our belief in it, and our trying to make sense out of it is why everything is failing. That to really start to understand that the only thing that is real is spirit. The only thing that is real is what is invisible and intangible. And the main reason why it doesn't report in our five-sense mind is because it's whole, it's complete, it's absolute. And our five-sense mind works on contrast, which means that we are looking at something that is apart from unity. It's apart from the concept of the one true God. And things like sin, sickness, these are all beliefs in something other than God. And coming back to what we said originally, it's belief that gives this power because it doesn't have principle. It doesn't have power of its own. It's not self-existent. The only thing in this universe that is self-existent is spirit, is divine law.
So even the fact of just believing that sickness exists out there is in fact deterring us from becoming one with our divinity.
Right, and it's in violation of the commandment, not put strange gods before me, that I am the Lord thy God. And that if we have a belief in something other than this one true God, and that's where I think what we're talking about here this week, this first week of Advent, you really want to focus on faith, which is a belief in truth. And you really want to make sure that you are working with truth and not the shadow of truth, not the concept of truth. A lot of us are working with an idea about truth, but we really don't have a sense of the presence of divine law, the presence of eternal life.
Well, what I'd like to do is actually recite a quote that we have in our notes, again, from the same work by Ames Knowles. In the Decalogue, he says, "While it is unlikely that a complete change in thought and viewpoint from a human to a divine basis will be accomplished by us immediately, we can at least begin to forsake human thinking for divine knowing." So what does that look like?
Right. And again, part of it is you have to understand the language of spirit. Spirit is absolute. It's whole. It's complete. And in Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy makes a very clear distinction between thought and idea. And spirit thinks in terms of ideas. Thoughts are things that we format humanly based on our observation of the testimony of our senses. We form thoughts, we form opinions, and we're under the rule of karma. But divine law, divine mind thinks in the absolute. And so you're thinking with the perfection of being, and it's whole, it's complete, and it is fulfillment.
So I think this is a good place to end our program for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. You can access our archived Blog Talk Radio shows there as well, and also some other wonderful tools that you can click on and use for your continued learning experiences. Be sure to check out our Facebook Live episodes. We do Wednesdays at 5 o'clock. So, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to build their faith and to change how they think. And my new thoughts will be the thoughts of God, imaging forth the universe of God, so that we can start to align with the perfection of our being. And with that, I wish everybody a good day Namaste.
Very nice. So with that, we're going to close down our show. And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.